The beginning of Sefer Shemos tells us that Klal Yisrael are immediately enslaved in Mitzrayim, and no sooner are we introduced to the heroes of the Galus Mitzrayim. So under the guise of Shifra and Pua, you know, Yocheved and Miriam served as the role models, the courageous heroism of leading the Nashim Tzidkaniyos to eventually be responsible for the Gula. So the question becomes, how come the Torah hides the names of Miriam and Yocheved? How come they describe them as Shifra and Pua? What was the Torah trying to conceal? What were they concealing by using these names, these pseudonyms of Yocheved and Miriam? And what was the message that Torah is trying to convey by obscuring their names? And the truth is, this is not the first time where Yocheved's name had been hidden from the Torah. Gemara, the Pasuk tells in Parshat Vayigash, that when the Shivim Nefesh, when 70 people descended to Mitzrayim, so when you do the math and going through everyone who is listed there, there's only 69 people mentioned there. So Rashi in the Medrash tells us already that Yocheved was the one that was missing. Yocheved was the 70th person. She was, although she didn't descend with everyone else to Mitzrayim, she was born moments before entering into the city. And she was the missing number 70 of that Shivim Nefesh. So yet again we see that Yocheved's name was, she was concealed from the Torah. She was hidden from the Torah. So what's so mysterious about Yocheved that not only once, but twice, her name had been hidden? So that Rizal identifies an incredible parallel between the life of Chava and the life of Yocheved. Now, in the terms of the Arizal, that means Yocheved was a Gilgal of Chava. Yocheved was charged with the responsibility of rectifying the chait of Adam and Chava. So how do we see this parallel? Where do we see this bridge between Chava and Yocheved? So we know Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, and as a result, all women thereafter eternally were punished. And Yocheved was brought into this world to somehow remedy that chait of Chava. So if you go through the Psukim, you're going to see an amazing parallel between the life of Chava and the life of Yocheved. So the Torah tells us in Parshat Bereishis that Adam and Chava had separated from each other. They were married and then separated, and they were united after 130. Pasuk says, Vayichi Adam Shloshim Umei Hashana. They lived 130 years. So they reunited at the age of 130, and then they had a child, Shes. So Rashi points out in this week's Parsha, when did Yocheved and Amram reunite? When did they get back together? When did they remarry? At the age of 130. When Yocheved was 130, that same age when Chava got remarried with Adam, it was the same exact age that Yocheved got married, remarried to Amram. And what was the son? What was the son of Yocheved and Amram? His name was Moshe. And what's the reason why he was called Moshe? The Pasuk says that Basir called him Moshe because ki min hamayim mishisihu. Almost as if to say that Moshe came mishisihu, meshes. Just like Yocheved was somehow a Gilgal of Chava, so too Moshe was mishes. The same children. After 130 years, they both had a very similar named child. Furthermore, the Pasuk tells us that when Yocheved had been convinced by the Nachash to eat from the Eitz Hadas, what did she say? Vateir ha'isha kitov. She saw that this was kitov, that this was a good thing to do. The Eitz Hadas, she was convinced. What happened when Yocheved saw her new son Moshe? She said, the Pasuk says, Vatar isha vateilad bein, vateir ha'osa kitovu. She used the same exact language, the same exact phrase as Chava, kitovu. When Chava described the Eitz Hadas as kitov, Yocheved described Moshe as kitov. Chava was punished with birth pains, labor pains, child-rearing, tzar gidubanim. Yocheved, on the other hand, had dedicated her life to ease the pain of labor, to alleviate the suffering, to undo the curse of Chava. What was Eitz Hadas? So there's a big machlokas, what food was Eitz Hadas? But there's a Rashi that tells us that when Yaakov was coming to Yitzchak to get the bracha, the Pasuk says that Yitzchak smelled the reach hasada, the smell of the fragrance of the fields. And Rashi says he smelled the fragrance of Gan Eden. So what was the fruit of Gan Eden, says Rashi? It was a tapuach. It was an apple tree. Now, we typically define in modern Hebrew tapuach as an apple, but it's understood by Chazal, it really meant an esrog. The tapuach and esrog, there's a Tosus that talks about, it really means an esrog. But it was a tapuach tree. That was the language Rashi uses, that the Medrash. He smelled a field of tapuchim. That was the Eitz Hadas. That's what Chava ate from. So the Gemara in Sota tells us that when the Nashim Tzidkaniyos in Mitzrayim would give birth, through the hands of Yocheved and Miriam. So the Chazal, Gemara tells us, they would give birth underneath a tree. And which tree would they give birth underneath? Says the Gemara, underneath a tapuach tree. Underneath an apple or esrog tree. So the same exact fruit, the same exact tree that Chava was eating from, that she brought death into this world, was the same exact tree that the Nashim Tzidkanis were giving birth underneath to bring life into this world. So the concept of Yocheved being a Gilgal of Chava, the Nashim Tzidkanis bringing the Geula, we see this parallel. So how does this help us answer the question? How does it tell us why Yocheved was remaining disguised and concealed from the Parsha? So we have to understand, what was the root of Chava's sin? She ate from the Eitz HaDaas. That's what she did wrong. But what led her to eat from the Eitz HaDaas? Granted, there's an indisputable parallel between Chava and Yocheved. But if you break it all down, what was the core problem of what Chava did wrong? What was the precise reason that Chava ate from the Eitz HaDaas? And in which way did Yocheved come to the rescue? In which way, what virtue did Yocheved embody that allowed her to fix and overcome the chait of Chava? So the Medrash teaches us that had Adam and Chava waited a little bit more, had they waited until sunset, had they waited until Shabbos, they would have been able to eat from the Eitz HaDaas. They just jumped the gun. There would be no death in this world, there'd be no Zeas HaPecha, there'd be no Tzar Gidul Banim, there'd be no labor pains. But instead, the impatience of Chava led to this downfall of mankind. It brought death into this world. The aggression, the eagerness, the impatience were at the root of Chava's sin. It was impatience. That's what it was. But as we climb back towards the top, as we search our way back to Gan Eden, Yocheved made a magnificent breakthrough in overcoming that impatience. I mean, Yocheved displayed an unbelievable amount of patience and self-control, which was the complete opposite of Chava. Chava lacked patience, and Yocheved embraced patience. So as her name indicates, Yocheved means kavod, honor, respect. And the Chazal tells us that kol bareach min hagadula, hagadula mechazeres alav. Those who run after, those who chase honor, honor runs far away. But those who run away from honor, then honor chases after you. So Yocheved shied away from the limelight. She chose that her name be disguised. Call me Shifra instead. She ran far away. And while Chava was running towards something, she was chasing after the Eitz HaDaas, she was chasing after the Tapuach, Yocheved was running away from something. While Yocheved jumped the gun to perform something forbidden, Yocheved was running far away from that which is forbidden, from the Kavod. And through her incredible self-control and self-discipline and patience, Yocheved was zocha to raise children such as Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. She was zocha to be the matriarch of the house, the bais, the bais kuna, and bais levia. And ultimately, she was in zocha to pave the way for all the other nashim tzidkanios to the redemption of Mitzrayim. So that was the essence of how Yocheved fixed it. It was a issue of impatience and patience. So we should all be zocha to display that same level of patience, poise, and reticence. And through that, be zocha to see our own personal yeshuos, our own personal gulos, and ultimately the greater gula shema b'amitas, meher yamenu, amen v'amen.